Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have a really important show, one that is timely and one that people need to pay attention to with the elections coming in the next, 100 days or less. I have a guest I haven't had on in quite a while, and I'm so excited to speak with him. We're going to speak today with Mr. Trevor Loudon. He is an author. He speaks. He has a YouTube presence. He's done movies. And initially, I had him on when he first wrote his book, The Enemies Within. And I found it on YouTube. And actually, I was at one of my medical conferences, and they played the movie. And I was just astounded with the information that he put out there. And before this show, we were speaking about how it was prophetic, because what was hidden is no longer hidden. We're now dealing with openly Marxist, socialist, communist, Congress people running for government. And I think our democracy and our republic has been under attack. And I don't think that we would have known this had it not been first for you, Mr. Loudon, putting the word out. But now I'll ask again, now that it's now out there, the cloak is off, they're no longer hiding, they're in plain sight and glorying in it. What do you think now that you've been proven right?
Well, I wish I wasn't. I wish I was proven wrong and made to look like an idiot. But because I've been saying that there's a Marxist socialist coup underway in America. I've been saying this 10 years now. Well, now it's here. And I just wish I was wrong. But we have to confront the reality that there is a Marxist insurrection happening. It's in the state. It's the deep state. It's in the Congress. It's in the Senate. And after the next election, it could be in the White House. So we live in very perilous times, and people really need to take their civic responsibilities very seriously, or they will no longer have them.
Now, I think there's been a media campaign to tell us, don't believe your lying eyes kind of thing, about how socialism is awesome and we should want this. And the young people are just completely, mind controlled to think that they can have whatever they want and it's all going to be free. And I don't think this, the Congress has been, well, I'm sure we'll get into it, but the education system in itself, I don't remember learning anything what they're learning now in school. And do you think that it's been a concerted effort back from the 60s and 70s where these guys have become professors and educators, and the children are getting one-sided education where communism and socialism is made out to be the utopia, and capitalism is the enemy. Everything is racist and sexist and whatever ist you can stick on it. And anybody who has a question mark is a bad person.
Well, yeah, this has been going on since the 1920s under Dewey and people like that. But it really took off after the 60s because you had Dr. Spock, the Marxist, telling everybody that you shouldn't discipline your children. You had, Joseph Fletcher, who invented situation ethics, the communist who gave us situation ethics. And you got this sort of free love generation of the 60s. And that generation now is running things. You know, they're running universities. They're running teachers, training colleges. They're running the media. So, yeah, the kids are brought up thinking that America was founded by horrible white slave owners and that Americans got rich by ripping off the third world, then that America is an intrinsically evil country. Well, how are you supposed to foster any kind of patriotism and unity when the kids are being taught this kind of garbage? But this is what has happened. If we don't get control of education, and I mean abolish the Department of Education and return all education to state level, if we don't do that, we will lose our children and our country, because they are becoming so indoctrinated now that they are becoming enemies of their own country. And, you know, I know, I'm sure you know, Elena, you know, many families who have slaved and slaved away, you know, to get their first child into college. And they're good Christian families, they're good conservative families, and the first Thanksgiving, the kid comes back wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt and telling everybody how stupid they are. You know, this is endemic. And a nation cannot survive when their children are being turned against them. It just cannot continue.
And it's all based on falsehoods, partial truths. I've heard one of the Senator Kaine in the Congress talk about how the United States is the only country to have slaves. You know, I mean, do you not think about Rome and God? I mean, it was, and he said it with a straight face. If this is the level that they'll go to this lie, and this is seeing, we're seeing this 24/7. It's, I think part of the problem is we people on the other side who have a frame of reference, who live in the truth, are really just astounded that somebody can sit there and lie with impunity and double down when they get caught. I just don't think that we're able yet to come to terms with they'll do anything to win and they'll say anything.
Well, that's right. See, this is revolutionary ethics. You know, we adopt the system that, you know, is based out of the Bible. It's based on the Ten Commandments that you do not bear false witness. You act with integrity. You treat others as you'd like to be treated with yourself. And we think everybody thinks that way. But if you're a revolutionary, you're a Marxist, you believe that you're changing history for millions of years. And if there are some people in the way, like conservative Christians or Republicans or business people, that don't go along with your agenda, the only ethical thing is to destroy them and lie to them and act, you know, basically treat them like dirt. You know, look, remember the old TV program years ago, Hogan's Heroes?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you know, the prisoners, the American prisoners and the British prisoners would always lie to the Nazis. They would always deceive the Nazis. Because the Nazis were evil, and it was the right thing to do to lie and trick and kill the Nazis. Well, these people now think we are the Nazis. So they think they're Hogan's heroes. They think it's perfectly okay to lie to us. It's perfectly okay to even kill us if they could get away with it, because we are Nazis. We are standing in the way of this great socialist paradise. So anything goes. Vote fraud goes. Lying about the president goes. Lying to our kids goes. Anything goes if it serves the revolution. That's revolutionary ethics. And they are operating on a totally different paradigm for us, which is why we can see somebody telling us that Black Lives Matter is a wonderful organization when they are a Marxist-Leninist group intent on destroying the country, but they'll say it with a straight face, because to them, a socialist revolution is a wonderful thing. You know, it'll lead to great human prosperity in the future. The fact that they have to kill a few Nazis or eliminate 10% of the American population on the way, that's just unfortunate.
Oh my God, that's frightening, but it's sobering because it puts us in a position to be realistic about who we're dealing with. On that note, let's take our first break. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Trevor Loudon. He's the author of several books, and his most recent one is called White House Reds. And before the break, you really opened my eyes to the mindset. I think the average person doesn't have in their heart that someone can be that duplicitous and cold-blooded about getting their way no matter what. I'm still curious how they can just negate history. We haven't seen any socialist paradise materialize. We've seen a lot of death, destruction, totalitarian. Everything that they say is the opposite. Liberal is totalitarian. Progressive is backward thinking and moving. And
I'm sorry, Elena, you is cracking up. I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I could, but it was breaking up there for most of what you said there.
Okay, I'll repeat it. You know, before the break, we were talking about the mindset of the revolutionaries. And I don't think as a regular person that we'd understand that this is almost like a religion for these guys. This is not just getting your way. This is life and death to them. That puts us in a whole nother category where you can't
I'm sorry, Elena. It started again. I just can't pick it up. I can't pick up what you're saying.
I don't know why. Hold on one second.
Maybe just try to turn it up a bit more. I don't know. But it's very distorted.
Okay. What about now? Is that less distorted?
Well, it sounds good now, but it started out good last time too. Then it started getting distorted again. But it sounds pretty good now.
Okay, I'll start off with my question. Before the break, you made a really sobering comment about the mindset of a revolutionary versus an average citizen. I don't think that an average citizen understands the mindset and the fact this is almost like a religion for these guys. This is life and death, and by any means necessary, means something to these guys. If that means taking you out, if that means lying, if that means manipulating the system to get your way, then that's what they're going to do. But I'm curious about their ability to understand history. There's no communist socialist regime that I've ever read about that had anything near a utopia. I think about Venezuela. I think about China. I think about these countries that there's no abundance. It's destitution. It's people being removed from society if they want to go their own way. Do they not understand history? Do they think that they're going to be special and different somehow?
Well, yes, they do, because this is their ready-made answer. Why did Russia fail? Why did the Soviet Union fail? Why did Cuba fail? Why did Venezuela fail? Because the United States sabotaged it. Because the United States bankrupted the Soviet Union and made them spend all that money on weapons instead of feeding their people. You know, the United States has embargoed Cuba for years, and that's holding the Cubans back. The United States has sabotaged Venezuela. Otherwise, Venezuela would be a paradise as well. So what's the solution? We must destroy the United States, because the United States is the major impediment to world progress. This is seriously their argument. And I'll just say something too. People say, well, socialism has always been a failure. Well, I would dispute that, because we see if you think socialism is really about redistributing wealth and making everybody happy, if that was the standard, yes, it would be a failure. But if you regarded socialism as a way of concentrating all wealth and all power in a very few hands, mm-hmm. would you still say it was a failure?
No.
No, it's been great.
It has.
Who's the richest man in North Korea? You know, Fidel Castro was a multi-billionaire. So was Hugo Chavez. It's nothing. The so-called, you know, sharing the wealth and making everybody live equally, that's just for the idiots. That's just for the for the peasants. This is really about power. And in my movie Enemies Within, and I hope people watch it, it's seen had over 2 million views on Amazon Prime. I interview a young man who had been a communist with Obama at Occidental College. Well, he's not young now, but he was young then. And I said to John, John Drew's his name. I said, John, when you became a communist, when you were a young communist, he's now a Christian conservative, you know, when you achieved socialism, were you going to work in a factory like everybody else? Were you going to be, on a collective farm or just one of the people? And he said, oh, no. He said, we were going to be the leaders. We were going to be the ministers of culture, the ministers of education. We were going to be the thousand elite that ruled America. That was our ambition. You know, the old thing in Animal Farm, you know, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. You know, the communists are elitists. You know, we conservatives are the real Democrats. We are the ones who want people to have equal opportunity and rise as far as your ability will take them. The communists believe in elitism, that there are certain people destined to rule the earth, and they can treat us like clay. They can do anything they want with us, and we should be grateful that we have such wonderful leaders to lead us into the utopia of the future. That's how they think.
So by what you just said, their method of achieving this, Black Lives Matter, for example, Antifa, these are just pawns and means to an end. I notice now that the people who are out there on the street for Black Lives Matter aren't black anymore. They're white, you know, hippie looking kids. And they use Black Lives Matter as a cover, and they continue to use it as a cover. They could care less about Black lives. More Black people have been killed during this entire movement, this last 4 weeks, since May, since it's not helping Black people. How do they get away with that?
Well, you have an idealistic cause. You say, I'm about justice. I'm about equality. I'm about Black Lives Matter. Well, of course, we all believe that Black Lives Matter, but we believe that every life matters.
Exactly.
You know, we're all about the communists never come and tell you, look, we're going to take all of your wealth. We're going to enslave you. We're going to turn your kids against you. We're going to take away your religion. We're going to make you follow our dictates for the rest of your life. And if you don't, we'll kill you. Now, that wouldn't work, would it? So they talk about equality. We're going to give you land and bread and equality and peace and freedom and decency and end racism. But it's all a scam. You know, what does a pedophile tell a child when they try to entice them? They don't tell them the truth, do they? You know, what does any con man do? They tell you a lie to get you to do something. Well, they're telling these people lies to get them to overthrow the system and destroy the United States so that a certain elite, a certain few, will then be handed power that they will enjoy forever with no competition. Isn't that every fanatic's dream? Isn't that, you know, we all know people who just love power, love to boss others. But mostly they don't get it, thankfully. But communism gives them that power, and it attracts the kind of people who want that power. And that's it's like a criminal enterprise, you know? The mafia attracts criminals. Communism attracts power freaks. And they you know, the mafia will tell you lies to steal your money. The communists will tell you lies to steal your freedom. It's just how it works. It's political criminality.
I think we're getting a taste of that, aren't we, with these governors and these mayors and these states that are literally locking down without any regard to reality or medical common sense. And it's with impunity.
Yeah, and if you say some medical truths, if you stand against them, you'll get shut down. You'll get deplatformed, you'll get taken off Facebook. You know, we have never had that in America before, you know. We've always had our Second Amendment under attack for a long time, but we always thought the First Amendment was safe. Well, who thinks it's safe now?
It certainly isn't. You can see the doctors that went up on Capitol Hill. That's an example. And they shut down. As soon as it hit a critical number of people watching, it disappeared from the internet, and demonization and firing, and, you know, they really took a kind of a hit. But if we're at this crossroads, and it certainly sounds like we are, what do we do? We can't stand back and hope for their better natures to come out, because you just described that's never going to happen. How do you stop this?
Well, we have to take our civic responsibilities very seriously. You know, why has the freest, richest, most prosperous country in the world been brought to the brink of anarchy? How could that possibly be? Is it because a whole bunch of communists conspired to make it that way? Yes, that's true. But could they have done it if ordinary citizens had been actually paying attention and voting for the people who would protect their country? You know, we get the government we deserve.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact is, for 40 years now, the churches have deserted the public square. You know, they've deserted it. So if good people aren't going to lead your country, bad people will. If good people aren't involved in the leadership of your country, that creates a vacuum and the bad people will fill it. So we've got an election coming up very, very shortly. And I'm not here to be political, but I'm here to talk about civic responsibilities. And the fact is, you have one side that is now communist. You have another side that is led by a president who wants to preserve your freedom, your religious liberties, and restore your constitution. Now, he may be an imperfect being. He may have a lot of people in his party who are not much better than the other party. But, you know, when you're drowning and somebody throws you a rope, don't you swim like crazy to get to that rope? Don't you do everything you can to grab hold of that rope and pull yourself to safety? Well, we've got an election coming up right now that is either going to plunge this country into communism, and I'm not joking on that, or it's going to give us a chance to save it and restore the Constitution. You know, sometimes, you know, you almost have to lose something before you appreciate it. And I think Americans, too many Americans, have not appreciated the freedom they've had, the Constitution, the roots of the Constitution, which are biblical. They haven't appreciated it, and they haven't taken the steps to preserve it. Well, now that they're on the verge of losing it forever, maybe, and I see this happening, people will wake up, and when they recover it, they will not let this happen again. It's like, you know, some man who mistreats his wife for years and years and years and doesn't pay her any attention. She says, right, I'm leaving. That's it. I'm gone. Well, that's the point where the man has a chance to reform himself and beg her to stay or just carry on his merry way and lose everything that's dear to him. That's where we are right now. This next election is going to be the test of how much Americans really value their freedom. Because everybody who sits home in this election, every church, every pastor who doesn't tell, you know, warn the flock of what's happening, everybody who says, I'm just too lazy, I don't care, it doesn't make any difference, anybody who sits home in this election has no right to complain when they lose everything and they can sign this country and their children's inheritance to socialism. If they want to sit home and let their kids live in slavery for the rest of their life, that's what they can do. But they have no right to complain about it.
I couldn't have said it better. I think one of the things that's really interesting is that the way the government, where the president is handling this, has actually forced them to uncloak themselves, to be completely unreasonable, to let people see what kind of people they are. I mean, do what I say, but not what I do. I'm above the law. There's absolutely, it's lawlessness on so many levels, whether it's judiciary system, it's Congress, it's the people running. I don't think you can sit back and say, I don't know what's happening. If you pay any attention at all, it's kind of obvious how awful this has become. And innocent people being killed for saying all lives matter and being put back on the street, letting criminals out of jail. It's absolutely like an asylum at this point. And they are doing it with a straight face and literally calling the other side what they are. It's cognitive dissonance on steroids. And let's take a break because I want you to finish this thought, but take a break and finish it back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Trevor Loudon, and people need to go to his website, trevorloudon.com, and you can see his books, you can buy them, you can check him out on YouTube. People definitely need to go to The Enemies Within because it's an eye-opening video and movie, and you don't have an excuse. The Bible pretty much says you can't sit back and hope for the best. You have to be an active participant in your salvation. You don't get points for just letting it happen, right? So before the break, during the break, I asked a question about, as a Black person, as an American, I forget about hyphenation because honestly, this is just stupid, and I'm not going to buy into all the little tribes they try to put us in. This is freedom as a human being versus being subjugated and removed from the equation because somebody deems you not to be important and not valid. I take offense to that. And I think they're using Black Lives Matter as a bully pulpit, as a vehicle in order to achieve it based on everybody's decency. Nobody wants to see people hurt. Every life matters, whether it's a child unborn or, an adult. And they're using this as a weapon. Language has become a weapon. Is that something that these revolutionary, is that a tactic? It seems like it.
Oh, look, absolutely. You know, getting control of the language is key. You know, they now define racism as a Republican, as a conservative, someone who wants to have borders. That's a racist now. They broaden the terms so much, you know, homophobic, Islamophobic, climate change denier, but racism is a big one. And do you know what words would end racism? There's about 8 words that would just end racism, if they were applied, would end racism overnight. And that is, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself.
Yeah,
that's all you have to teach people. You don't have to teach people to be anti-racist or any of that, or deprogram them or propagandize them or force them to speak a certain way. You just teach people to treat others as they would like to be treated themselves, and that ends all of the problem. That's the end of it. You know, but they don't want the problem. See, if you look at what this is, you know, this is revolution. What we're in now is revolution. And people see this in political terms. But if you look at the world, you know, we live in certain hierarchies, God, human nature, parent, child, employer, employee. And this is the world we inherited. This is the world where these were the hierarchies that were created. Well, revolution is overturning all of the hierarchies so students can tell their professors what to do, so kids can lord it over their parents, so employees can tell their boss what to do. And the ultimate revolution is to dethrone God in heaven. That's the ultimate revolution. That is what all of this revolutionary activity is ultimately designed to do. And so it's an overturning of the natural laws, the natural hierarchies of creation, to the point that God is dethroned. Well, I don't think God will ever be dethroned, but think of the damage and chaos and misery these people can do in their attempt. You know, think of the slaughter, the absolute wickedness, the crime, the misery these people can bring in their misguided attempt to overthrow the natural universe, because that's what they're trying to do.
It takes a critically thinking person to see this in stark detail. I'm looking at society from through a distance, and it's so ridiculous what they're trying to pawn off. It doesn't make sense. You have people saying that, you know, China's awesome and that we should follow their lead. And that's the absolute opposite thing of what we should be doing, right? Yeah. You have Congress people saying that China is almost like a beacon and we should you know, they're leading the way, and they're killing people and putting them in concentration camps, vivisection, you name it. And this is exactly the opposite. If this is what the society needs to go to, or what they think is enlightened, then we have an obligation to take a stand and fight against it. But I don't know.
Yeah, we do. Well, you know, the revolution we're experiencing right now is directed by China. You know, Black Lives Matter is a pro-Chinese communist organization. They call the shots. The COVID thing was deliberately released, you know, deliberately fanned in the United States, and the panic was deliberately fanned. The World Health Organization, you know, pushed that, and they're headed by Mr. Tedros, a Marxist-Leninist, Maoist Ethiopian who's completely in China's pocket. And their goal, you know, in the old days, you'd have an epidemic and you'd quarantine the sick and everybody else would take precautions and do what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the World Health Organization told us, no, we can't do that because there is asymptomatic transmission. People are transmitting that don't show symptoms. So we're going to have to shut everything down. Well, the Chinese are pushing this for three reasons. They hate Trump. They know that if they don't destroy Trump, Trump will destroy them. So if they can wreck the US economy, that makes it very likely that Trump won't get elected, and then they can come here and do what Trump said Joe Biden will do, buy up America cheap, get it for nothing, you know, take control. The other thing is this: Obama gutted the US military. He reduced its power, its scope, did more damage to the military than most foreign armies could ever dream of doing. Russia and China were meanwhile rearming like crazy. Trump got into office knowing that we faced a war that we would probably lose if he didn't quickly rebuild the US military. So he set about doing that. He increased the military budget, got rid of all the transgender garbage in the military, all, you know, changed the rules of engagement to bring up the morale of the military, because he knew we were facing a big danger from Russia and China. But he could only do that when the economy was strong. Now, 31 Democrats, led by the pro-Chinese communist Barbara Lee from California and the pro-terrorist Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, have written a letter to the Armed Services Committee demanding big, big defense budget cuts in the next budget go-round because the economy has tanked because of COVID. This is the push. This is a military operation against the United States. Because if they can destroy Trump and they can cut the US military, Russia and China run this world. That's what's at stake here. And just when we'll start to come out of the COVID, the Chinese got their communist friends here to burn a whole bunch of cities. This is a complete Chinese operation from start to finish.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think they're also arming these same anarchists. There's a Border Patrol caught, was it 10,000 weapons, or I think it's even more in Tennessee.
10,800 it was.
Yeah, shipped in from China. Now we have these seeds showing up in the country, people unsolicited seeds from China coming in. So it looks like a bioterrorism approach. I mean, they're just going all out. This must be a battle of the ages that we're actually not seeing, you know, in the classic patient or patient person is not seeing this because it's so overwhelming with the COVID lockdown and the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. It's complete chaos. So you really can't follow what's going on. And that seems to be the what they're trying to do, cloak it.
Yeah, they're trying to cause maximum confusion and maximum demoralization, wreck the economy and wreck people's will to fight. Like if the Chinese sailed across the Pacific right now and started shooting at us, we would raise an army and go and shoot back at them. Mm-hmm. And people would be all on board with that and they would rally to the cause. Well, China is attacking us now with their fentanyl, which kills 30 to 60,000 people a year. with their COVID, which has killed over 100,000, with their riots, which have killed several and caused billions of dollars worth of damage. They are working in our politics. It was pro-Chinese communists who recently flipped Virginia from red to blue. They're doing the same thing right now in Georgia behind Stacey Abrams. They tried the same in Florida and almost succeeded, and they're now working to do the same thing in North Carolina. They're operating in the universities. They're stealing technology. They are at war because what they call it is people's war. It is, and when Trump put some tariffs on Chinese goods in May 2019, Xinhua News Agency, which is the official Chinese news agency, said that our response is people's war. Now, people thought that just meant trade. They'll put some tariffs on American goods or whatever. No, people's war is a Maoist term. It means every form of warfare except direct military confrontation. You use moral warfare, economic warfare, cyber warfare, biological warfare, riots. You use drugs. You use everything, even counterfeiting, you know, counterfeiting American currency. Everything they can to bring us to our knees, short of direct military confrontation. The soldiers only start marching when everything else is in place. And we are only a few steps away now from a full-blown insurrection in this country, and only a few months away from possibly electing a communist president and a communist vice president. That's about as serious as you can get.
I absolutely agree. Let's take our last break and come back. We're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Trevor Louden. And Trevor, you really, I don't know anywhere else to say this, but it's a like a cold water in the face that we need as Americans, no matter what, where walk of life we're coming from. I can see how this all has been years in the making, from having our country, all the influx of illegal immigrants coming through, setting them up from a social standpoint with whatever social programs you have, entering the system to vote. We see Minnesota and Wisconsin and those areas have been inundated with new voters, and there are people that are getting in who I don't believe ever would get in. Omar, Tlaib, those people, they benefit from a microcosm of an immigrant population. Now we're talking about mail-in voting, which from what I can see from the things that they've already picked up is a disaster. We saw that in Georgia where it was ballot harvesting, where every time they found a new box in a different place, just miraculously 90-10 for Stacey Abrams, and it was closing the gap. And had they been able to continue, she would have been our new governor. It was completely fake. And now New York is finding and counting ballots with no postmark. I mean, what happened to the rule of law? What is going on with our justice system? I understand there's bad apples, but quite frankly, what the heck is the Attorney General doing?
Well, this is a result, as we talked about before, of 40 or 50 years of Marxist indoctrination in the schools. Now you've got hundreds of thousands of young revolutionaries out there, many of them in government jobs, many of them in Silicon Valley, many of them in the Democratic Party, who honestly believe that what they're doing is morally okay. Lying, ballot harvesting, vote stealing, ballot stuffing, all of that is okay because we're bringing down the fascists. You know, and it's okay to cheat the fascists because they're such horribly bad people. So the normal rules that we adhere to don't apply to them. And I'm glad you brought it immigrants, because that was the plan to take America down, was illegal immigration. And Hillary Clinton promised she was going to legalize all of the illegal immigrants within 100 days of taking office. Well, according to Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that's now 22 million people. That would have been 15 or 16 million Democrats right there. They would have had, Florida would have gone blue, Georgia would have gone blue, Texas would have gone blue, North Carolina, Arizona, and there never, ever would have been another Republican president. And I don't care whether your listeners are Republicans or Democrats or whatever. Nobody wants a one-party state. I never want a Republican one-party state. I never want a Democrat one-party state. I don't want a communist one-party state. You've got to keep it open. You've got to have some competition in your politics. But we, on election night 2016, we were one step away from losing the country forever, because that's what Hillary would have done. But by a miracle, she lost. Donald Trump got elected and has been holding the line. And they've had to get very violent. They weren't going to get violent. They almost had it. Legal immigration would have given them everything they wanted. But they've had to get violent. They've had to show their hand. This is a very, very risky maneuver for them. They're desperate, because if they know they don't destroy Trump in this election, he will destroy the left. And I don't mean he'll come after them. I mean their narrative will shatter. A lot of black people will move over, go back to the Republican Party, which was their natural home for 100 years. A lot of Latino people will leave the Democratic Party. A lot of those white union voters out in Ohio and Michigan will leave the Democratic Party, because Trump is a new kind of Republican. He's populist. He's not an elitist. He wants ordinary people to have good lives and good jobs and a chance at prosperity and the education of their children. That's what he wants. And he can actually deliver that stuff. So if the Democrats don't win this election, they're going to be out of power for 20 years. But if so they know if they don't destroy Trump, he will destroy them. The Chinese know. The communist Chinese know if they don't destroy Trump, he will destroy them. That's why the Democrats and the Chinese are working together with the Iranians, with the Venezuelans, with the Cubans, with the EU. They're all working together to bring down this president. And every American who loves this country, I don't care what political party you started out in or what your mom voted for, your dad voted for, it doesn't matter. This election is the Constitution versus communism. Plain and simple. You choose.
And that's pretty clear to me at this point. And it seems, you know, they have a megaphone. They have the media. They have this highlight reel that they keep dinging us with. But I don't believe them to be the majority. People who love the country are the majority. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Look, 90% of it. Look, this is the way I look at it. There's 5% of the country is trying to save it. 5% is trying to destroy it. 90% of the people in the middle are patriotic Americans who love their country, but just don't know enough to make a good decision. They've been so lied to and so confused, they don't really see which way to choose. And if we can make it very clear that one side's communist and one side is the Constitution, one side is basically now satanic and one side is basically Christian. If people understand those polarities and the difference, they will vote the right way. But if they don't understand, there's a very big danger they will make a bad decision and they will live to regret it for the rest of their lives, because there'll never be another chance to change it. Never.
So if that being said, do you think that it's a strategy, and it's an opinion question, is this a strategy by the government to force these guys out into the open to uncloak, so that they make it so unbearable that people who are sitting on the fence, who can't or not paying attention, kind of have no choice but to see it for what it is? You can say it, but you really have to see it, don't you?
Well, I think Trump, you know, I think he would like to deal with this more forcefully, but he's got so many bad guys in his own military now that he probably can't trust them. But I think, yeah, he's trying to draw those distinctions. He's trying to say, okay, you look at Portland, Oregon. You look at Oakland, California. You look at these blue states and the anarchy and chaos and taxes and misery they are reporting, they are doing. You look at the red states, you know, that have good governors, low taxes, the people are flocking to them. This is your choice, America. Which one are you going to vote for? Because if you vote the wrong way, we're never going to have another chance to change it. This is the final vote. If you vote the right way, you're going to have more chances to vote. You're going to vote again in future, and you might even decide to reverse it. But if you vote the wrong way this election, there's going to be 22 million or 17 million more Democrats out there, and there's never going to be another chance. That's it. So vote for choice, vote for liberty, vote for freedom, vote for the Constitution, or vote for slavery. That's it. Because as they say, you can vote your way into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out. And the thing is, they will have all the guns.
Well, I don't know about that one. I think there's a lot of people.
Well, they'll come for your guns. Absolutely, they will.
You're going to have to fight, I think, for that one.
Well, yeah, but look, a lot of people say they're never going to take my gun. But when you're standing in your doorstep and there's three cops standing there and they say, I want your guns, and your kids are crying and your wife's screaming at you, give them the guns, give them the guns, give them the guns, or you go to jail. What are most people going to do?
That's a good point. I don't want to see us get to that.
I don't want to get anywhere near that.
No.
And we don't have to get to there. But people who think we can lose this next election, then they're going to shoot their way out of it, are just delusional and irresponsible. The amount of misery that would bring to this country is horrendous. And the fact is, if the Democrats looked like they were going to lose, they would have Russian and Chinese troops on our soil before you could say gee willikers.
I think you're right. I mean, if you look at the money that the California governor has taken from the Chinese for their masks, was it almost $1 trillion? How do you do that? How do you take looks from the communist Chinese and take their tainted testing and PPE? I mean,
well, that's exactly right. See Newsom, and look, I'm going to say something now that people will think is absolutely crazy. But most of what I'm saying, most of what's happening in America now, people would have said that was crazy 10 years ago. Okay. The Western states, Oregon, California, and Washington, are moving towards secession from the United States. Okay. And that will happen. They're preparing to do that if the election goes the wrong way. And I believe they will recognize China and form an alliance with China. Now, you may think that is absolutely the craziest thing you've ever heard, but you just watch. I hope to be absolutely proven wrong on that one, but I have reason to believe that that's what they're planning to do as an option.
You know, I hope that you're wrong on this one, but I'm a realist, and I don't think it's not impossible, because their loyalties and what they've done to the country and how they've interacted with American citizens gives me pause, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled this. Now, in the next few seconds that we have left, how can people get your books, download and buy your movies, and find your website?
Look, just go to trevorlowden.com, trevorlowden.com, and Loudon is Loudon. I really want people to get two things. One is my movie, Enemies Within, which has been seen over 2 million times now on Amazon Prime. So you can get it on Amazon Prime or through Amazon or through me. But where you really need to get is my new book, White House Reds. And that shows you the absolute communist infiltration of the Democratic Party. The 10 leading candidates for the Democrats, every one was a Marxist. And that includes Mrs. Minnesota Nice, Amy Klobuchar, Nice Mr. Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Cory Booker, Joe Biden. Absolutely, he is not a moderate by any stretch of the imagination. He's worked for China and Russia his entire political career. And it will shock you and show you just how deep the infiltration is. And as I say, if you're in a war, the first thing you have to know is that you're in one. The second thing you have to know is who your enemies are. If you know those two things, you can win. So my movies and my books are designed to let you know who they are, what they're trying to do, so you can effectively protect your family and your community and your country from the danger. And we can win this right now just by voting and getting active. We never want to get it to the point where we have nothing left but force of arms, because A, we'll lose it, and B, the bloodshed would be horrendous, and it would be a crying shame if we went to that when we can still win it by getting out there and voting.
Thank you so much. I don't even have anything else to top that with. I think you said the truth. Everybody needs to be brave and to make their move now, so we don't have to live in an environment that you just described. Trevor, thank you so much for coming on. I want to have you back on. I know you're working on a movie, but you're welcome to come on anytime, because this is truth and we have to pay attention. I want a future, and I don't want the future that they have in mind. So again, thanks for your time. I love having you on, and God bless.
Well, God bless you, and I really enjoyed it too. It was a great, I really enjoyed it. So anytime, Elena, don't be shy. I'm fine.
You know I won't. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.